Thank you, Judge Posner, Judge Bauer, Judge Plum. There's a Nelson DeMille novel that talks about Cott, his latest one. Just for your information.
I have to look it up.
Yeah, well, that's a very good fiction. Amazing what you learn from that. We'll go to more of the basics, back to our origins and still. This is a diversity wrongful death action. If the court, unless the court has questions, I think the record clearly established diversity, the death certificate, and the order appointing administrator. The deceased, and it makes it a lot easier to describe if you just look at the photographs in SA5 of the appendix. She comes down this hill.
Okay, we know. What bothers me about your case, I don't actually see any evidence of negligence or violation of regulations by the railroad. There's uncertainties in the evidence. So what's the evidence? What's the evidence that they didn't blow the horn for 20 seconds before they got to the intersection?
It's not on the event recorder.
Pardon?
The evidence is it's not on the event recorder.
I'm sorry, I don't understand you.
The event recorder for this locomotive...
What is the evidence? The horn blew. What is the evidence that the horn wasn't blown, did not get blown for the full 20 seconds?
There was no mention of it on the event recorder.
There's no... The tape itself was blank.
It records when horns are sounded, and there was
no doubt the horn was blown. You're not going to say that the horn wasn't blown.
Well, I'm telling you what the event recorder says.
It said no,
answer my question.
Says
are you asserting as a fact the horn was not blown at all?
I don't know.
Can't win a case if you don't have evidence, right? The fact that you don't know whether the horn was blown, the other people, you know, waiting to cross the tracks, they said it was blown.
Well, actually, they said the interested party said the horn was blown, and this is a subsidiary part of the case, is why I'm trying to move on. One person said he thought he heard a whistle, not that they required two poles, two shorts and one long, two longs and one short. The event recorders don't show any horn blowed, and they record it. So that is evidence, Judge Posner.
I don't think so.
Well, why did Congress require it?
So look, what is, how old are these kids?
All adults. The youngest was about 19, the oldest was 31.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly evidence there. They went out.
That's not evidence because they don't know anything about timing trains and horns and where you start. And that's not evidence.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. It's a simple operation. You start your timer. They started it
about seconds.
Well,
we're talking about seconds. If you miss, they say what? 12 to 14 seconds. It depends critically when exactly they press their timer.
No, it doesn't. They pressed it before the horn sounded. You could run it for 40 seconds before. What matters is they said when we started 2 to 3 seconds after we started the timing at the bend, the horn sounded. The other one, the oldest, the boy, man, Michael, says it's 2 to 3 seconds before the train entered the crossing. Now, that's evidence. You may say, well, they should have started exactly when the horn sounded. They still accurately timed it.
Well,
you couldn't say
that.
It
couldn't be 2 seconds and 12 seconds, right?
No, they said the times they gave were from when they first started the stopwatch before the horn sounded. 12 to 13 seconds, but the two girls.
What's the 2 seconds?
Well, the 2 seconds afterwards is when the horn sounded.
Well, I don't understand.
Well,
two seconds from when to when?
Well, from 12 to 13 or 13 to 14 or what the three children say is when they push the stopwatch. Two of the girls say from 1 to 3 or 2 to 3 seconds after we push the stopwatch at 12 to 13 or 13 to 14 seconds, we hear the horn. We hear the gates and the lights flashing and signals.
Were these children, or adults, right, the children of the deceased, were they commissioned to do this by counsel?
No. They did it on their own and shopped the case.
Yeah, but, it really would have helped whether they did it or when a counsel gets involved in the case to have some video. That'd be a simple enough. We wouldn't be quite so involved in discussing the 2, 3, 4 seconds. This is in an age of video today. It would have kind of locked this down a little bit better.
Right, and Your Honor, I didn't get the case for just before it had been turned down. And the way these things develop, their deposition, lo and behold, they did time it. I mean, these things didn't get ironed out, and they come out, they don't know the actual time. But you have two experts, the signals expert of the plaintiff and the BNSF expert.
I didn't understand what they were saying. I didn't understand, among the many other things in your brief, I didn't understand this daylight saving issue. Could you explain that?
Well,
words of one syllable, what daylight saving has to do with this?
Yeah, 51 functions on the...
Please don't do 51 functions. Just tell me what is...
Well, you're asking me for an explanation, sir, and I can't. You're telling me I can't give it.
51 functions, whatever that means.
Well, can I say it?
Sure.
All right. There are 51 functions you have to go through to activate this processor. There are 3 pages of warnings on those 51 functions, any one of which can alter the signal's warning time. So the failure to activate the 51st function certainly is probative of the fact that you may not have done the other ones, especially when there's a configuration certificate required and they don't have it for this processor. They have the one, and it's in my appendix.
So the failure to switch to daylight saving, the significance of that for you is if they didn't do this, maybe they didn't do something else?
Well, it's certainly probative of that, and it's also the lack of a configuration certificate. We don't know this thing was ever calibrated, this processor. And you're supposed to have one, and I've got the one for 2010 in the actual appendix at SA6. And it shows that the processor's been calibrated. We got no evidence this processor has ever been calibrated to know it's accurate. The other things we have is we have the leading signals expert who helped develop the very processor that's used here. He says, yeah, it's possible that the activation showing 2038, 32 to 2039, 03, yeah. Could have provided that warning, but I'm trying to dovetail these events to match the times with all the data, as this is supposed to do, and it just doesn't reconcile. The key.
If you put aside what the kid said, all you're left with is the fact that you have a defective track recorder.
No. What we're left with is that we have a system that is required to be maintained by federal law and checked on a regular basis. We have no electrical test records that I show again in the appendix of what actual readings are. All we got are summaries they're done to prevent this, just like with black boxes in airplanes.
Can you depose anybody?
Why do I need to depose when I have...
I'm asking you a question. Did you depose anybody?
I did not, and I'm answering it. Why?
No, you're not answering it. The answer is yes. You did not depose anybody.
Yes, I said that.
Now you want to explain why? That's fine. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. The reason I didn't was I have one clock on the signals activation. It measures two things that are recorded on the event recorder. It records the signals activation 2038 to 2039. It also occurs when the train comes through the crossing. The regulation itself requires two things: 20 seconds of warning from the signals prior to the normal operation of a train. The normal operation is that obviously maintenance or things could change. We have the same clock showing signals from 2038 to 2039, showing the train entered the crossing 11 minutes later at 2050. We have the local...
Look, Mr. Stegall, we can all agree, there are missing records, we can agree that the track recorder was all screwed up, we can agree that the evidence is very confused. But it seems to me the only actual evidence you have of less than 20-second warning is what the is the kids. That all this evidence about defective record keeping and what have you, that's not evidence from which one can make any inference about whether it was 20 seconds or 10 seconds, right?
Well, yes, there is. Because the Federal Railroad Administration...
But if it's defective, it could have been 40 seconds, right? I mean, how would you know?
Your Honor, the Federal Railroad Administration requires these devices and the event recorders to provide data on what happened.
I know, but if you don't have the data, how does that prove negligence?
Well, it proves that the data shows that there's no way we can show this warning
yes,
was
precisely.
Provided.
Yes, precisely.
And that itself is negligence.
Yes, but you're not asking for damages because they have defective equipment. You're saying your whole case is that Mrs. Nunes did not get 20-second warning. That's your whole case. I don't think that any business of all these defective records and defective machine and violation of regulations, that deprives you of evidence, but I don't think it proves negligence.
Yes, it does.
But it doesn't tell you how many seconds, right?
Of course it doesn't, because they've made sure we don't have the evidence.
The case is to prove that it was less than 20 seconds warning.
Your Honor, the only thing I could submit to you is an airplane goes down and the black box on the recorder doesn't have any information and data, you're going to have an uproar. Of course, they're going to think there's negligence. That's why they exist, to show exactly what happened. But you're reading
wrong.
It out.
You're wrong.
Well, you're the judge.
Look, plane crashes.
Don't give away too much.
The plane crashes and the black box is missing because it was defective. There's no other evidence of liability. The fact that the black box wasn't there, they don't have a black box, whatever it is, that doesn't tell you why the plane crashed.
I disagree.
Right?
I mean, obviously I can't convince you.
But why didn't you depose people? What about the engineers?
Why do I need to depose people who are going to tell me that this worked?
No evidence except the kids. You don't understand the difference between having poor record keeping, defective track recorders, and so on, as showing that it's a crummy railroad. That's one thing. The other thing is trying to figure out how many seconds it was.
With respect,
and
Your Honor...
All these defects don't show how many seconds.
With respect, Your Honor, you're reading the requirement of event recorders right out of the law. And I'm sorry, you can shake your head, it's a jury question.
You don't understand tort law at all.
Yes, I do, Your Honor. I've tried jury cases.
You have evidence of about the seconds, The equipment could be as defective, it could be no equipment. Suppose there were no track recorders, they'd never been invented. You'd have to provide evidence that this train was, that she didn't get her 20 seconds warning, right?
Your Honor, one of the basic concepts also of torts is when the other party controls what should be there and is not there, you can draw inferences from the fact it isn't that they were negligent. And if you want to keep us in the 19th century, from your view is, we'll never use this technology because the railroad can always say, our event recorders don't work when they don't work our way. Downloading them in text files, which can be altered, by the way.
Well, if you deposed someone from the railroad, maybe you would have learned more about why this machinery is defective.
Judge, what more do I need? The data is the data. It's capable of being... What?
You're not going to win that fight.
All right, but what I can also say is, I'm never going to get somebody to say they altered this data. Forget that. That's not going to happen.
Save your 1 minute.
Yes. Thank you, Judge.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Stegall. Mr. Unrath?
Good morning. My name is Craig Unrath. I represent Burlington Northern Railroad. The rule of law is that a court commits no abuse of discretion in barring an expert witness where there is too great an analytical leap between the facts and the opinion itself. I think that's a polite way of saying it's okay to bar an expert's opinion when it makes no sense. And that's precisely what's happened here.
What is the? I couldn't figure out what their opinion was.
Either could
Did
we.
Did they actually offer an opinion that it was less than 20 seconds?
Mr. Sotilli was their event recorder expert, and he suggested that there was less than 20 seconds based on the children's timing.
Okay, but that's not expert evidence. He's just repeating what the kids... I mean, he's not a psychologist who can say these kids were old enough to be responsible.
Well, that's correct, Your Honor. He also suggested that the evidence was unreliable because the HCR has a switch that can be thrown to accommodate for daylight savings time or not. In this case, it's undisputed that it was not switched. Therefore, it was going to be 1 hour off, exactly 1 hour off. And he refused to accommodate the assumption that the data was 1 hour off because that switch had not been thrown. This was something that Judge Gorman found.
I thought half of Indiana refused to throw the switch on daylight savings.
That's why I live in Illinois, Your Honor.
My recollection is they had big fights over the except daylight saving time.
Well,
apparently the railroad has not gotten part
Indiana is certainly runs on a different clock than.
Do you think that maybe the track recorder was recording another train that had gone an hour earlier or later?
No, Your Honor, because the data was downloaded immediately afterwards.
I'm just unclear why he thought the daylight. What Mr. Stegall suggested was that if they made this error, maybe they made another error.
I don't even see that there was an error, Your Honor.
Well, but they do apparently. Don't they have this switch? So presumably they do switch from daylight saving to, or not, or just leave it?
I'm not aware of any rule that says they must change that. Counsel also suggested that that the equipment is never inspected. The equipment may have been faulty. In fact, there's a tremendous amount of evidence in this case that the equipment was inspected regularly. As a matter of fact, the last time it was inspected...
By the way, there is a rule that they have to run on daylight saving time. The railroads have to.
There is?
Yes.
I'm not aware of that, Your Honor.
Well, there is.
But the last inspection of this equipment occurred 19 days prior to the accident and had been routinely inspected over the last couple of years prior to that. And those records were produced. What we're left with is this. We have the testimony of children, I shouldn't say children, adult children of the decedent, who attempted to make some tests, but there's one thing that they missed. The problem here is that we're trying to determine how much warning time you have from the moment those lights start flashing and the gates come down. How much time do you have before the train actually arrives? Now, all three of these children...
Offspring.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Progeny, yeah. Descendants.
Idea of when they should start timing. One said, well, we should time it when we see the train. That's when we start the clock. Another one said, no, we're going to start the clock when we hear the train blow its horn. Another one seemed to suggest that, no, we're going to start the clock when we hear the engine coming. Well, those are all wrong. If you want to test how much warning time you have, you wait until the flashers come down, when the gates go down, when the bells start ringing. Then you hit your stopwatch and you count to 20. And if the train gets there too early, then you've got a problem. That test was never done. The children never did that. On a fundamental basis, the children's testimony...
Offspring, please.
Offspring, I'm sorry, progeny, is completely irrelevant. It's pointless. It would serve only to confuse a jury. much like the opinions of the experts themselves.
So if you were stuck on a crossing, though, you would be aware when the gates came down and there would be, they sound a warning at the, apart from the horn, right? Is there a bell or something at the gates?
Yes, so this is what they refer to as an actively controlled intersection as opposed to a passively controlled. Gates come down. Numerous lights begin to flash. Bells start to ring. It's difficult to ignore. At that point, anyone is going to know that a train is on its way. One issue in this case, we've spent so much time talking about the admissibility of expert testimony and so forth, but the bottom line of this case is proximate cause. Judge Gorman found that the cause of the decedent's death was not due to negligence on the part of BNSF, but was due to her delay in exiting her vehicle when she understood that a train was coming.
Isn't that a question of fact?
It is normally a question for the trier of fact, but not when the facts are undisputed. Now, in this particular case, all we need is some evidence out there showing that the train arrived in less than 20 seconds, and then we have an issue of fact, I think, for trial. But we don't have that evidence. What we do have is confusion. Plaintiffs' experts recite repeatedly the fact that we have all of these clocks that were not synchronized. Well, the purpose of these clocks is not to tell time. Their purpose is to act as stopwatches, so it doesn't matter what time is shown on there. They didn't say that this information suggested that there was less than 20 seconds of warning. What they said was, with this evidence is confusing to us. We're not sure what happened here. We need to figure this out. There's doubt as to what happened. Now, the solution to that is to take depositions of railroad employees and experts, and they can resolve that confusion. But there's a big difference between confusion as to what the data means and evidence that contradicts the undisputed data showing that the decedent had significantly more than 20 seconds to exit her vehicle and leave. Now, we have a situation here where we have independent witnesses who saw the gates come down, saw the lights flashing, heard the bells. One of them heard the train blow its horn. They also had enough time to become concerned about this situation. They actually exited their vehicles when they saw that the decedent was not leaving hers. They were wondering if there was something they could do to help. In other words, it's clear that that all of the warnings were given, that there was sufficient time not only for her to leave her car, but for bystanders to leave theirs. The only question is, did she have at least 20 seconds? And there's simply no evidence to the contrary. There is no evidence that will dispute the HCR and the XP-3 recording equipment. By the way, those are the only two pieces of equipment that actually record the interval here that can establish the how much warning time was given. In other words, the dispatcher's time clock makes no difference at all. That's not designed to record data on how much warning time is given. Overall, what we have here is a failure to produce evidence that would counter our motion for summary judgment. We have independent testimony establishing that warning was given, significant amount of warning given, and we back that up with the digital data from the railroad equipment. I do want to take one issue with a comment Judge Posner made, suggesting that we run a crummy railroad. We don't. It's a terrific railroad, and
if if even if we assumed that, it wasn't that was would not be evidence.
We respectfully decline to make
is
that assumption.
Warren Buffett's railroad?
I believe it is, Your Honor. And this equipment here.
Buffett for running a bad railroad.
This equipment here is some of the most sophisticated railroad equipment available right now. If there are no further questions from the court, we urge the court to affirm the district court's order granting our motion for summary judgment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Unrath. Mr. Stiegel?
The children testified. You may argue with how their method is, but it's certainly a valid way to start your top watch earlier than the signal's sounding and say that 2 to 3 seconds later, which gives us 9 or 10 seconds warning time, happened. That's evidence. You can't get rid of it. There is an eyewitness testimony. As the proximate cause, we took the 9 to 10 seconds that was actually observed 1 to 3 days later, just like the BNSF tested the next day. The different train argument doesn't work. That shows that 9 to 10 seconds, we take the manual traffic control devices from the Department of Transportation. The average walking speed is 3.5 feet per second. Calculate that out, Mrs. Madden would still be alive. If you take the actual data and look at the train arrivals, she would have been at the next section with 11 to 14 minutes to go. You ask about another train, look at SA6, Exhibit 28.3. You will notice the timing of signals activated at 29.09.41 to 20.10.51, and then they also activated 20.38.32 to 20.38, the times I'm talking about. So we've got a very short signal time in there before. What's that signaling for? Now, as far as the importance of this data and how it relates, you have the people who are regulating this telling you that this is the only way we can tell what happens. And I thought that the decision had been made clear in Congress and it was accepted now that data is always better than eyewitnesses. And that's what the whole purpose of this signals data was, is to show what happened. And if the Burlington Northern doesn't do the test, they made a test. Look at compare them.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Steele. The time has expired.
Thank you.
Okay, next case for argument, Atlantic Casualty.